188 years ago this week, a small band of valiant men began a long struggle for freedom. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, not only to found a nation, but to forge an ideal of freedom.
Too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Greetings, white America. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier from my log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia. Every day, we battle the loony left.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
But still, we manage to persevere because the good guys always win, even in the 20s. Buddy, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. It's Tommy Freedom coming at you for, I think, a month now with shows about the coronavirus. I know this is starting to get old to a lot of people, but there's still information out there that needs to be shared. Now, before I really get into the show, there's a company, and this is funny, it's a true story. There's a company in Phoenix, Arizona, that before this whole thing started was apparently called COVID. It was a video production company. What the co stood for, I don't know, but vid obviously was short for video. So this company was called COVID. I guess now they're going to have to change their name because people are going to associate them with this outbreak from here on out. So I guess I'll have to find something that sounds a little less deadly, like, I don't know, measles or smallpox or something like that. But a lot of people are starting to get stir-crazy here with this, folks. And one guy, if I have time, I'll get into this at the end. This 34-year-old guy couldn't take being cooped up at home under house arrest. That's technically what it is. And he killed himself because he just couldn't take it. It's a good thing he never went to prison, huh? But my goodness, you know, I'm just waiting now for one of the Kardashian sisters to get pregnant with twins and then name the kids COVID and quarantine, both with K's. But anyway, I want to get the show going here with some information, if I can pull it up here. What actually happens if you don't stay at home? Are your states enforcing it? And if they are, what can actually happen to you? And depending upon the state, it can be anywhere from nothing, like essentially what they're doing here in North Carolina. They're not enforcing it, even though they put the order in. So it's anywhere from nothing to, you love this, $25,000 fine. That's a big chunk of change there. And it differs from state to state. And, you know, the general idea is to restrict residents who have non-essential jobs from leaving their homes for anything other than necessary tasks. And that's getting groceries, you know, picking up your medication, or going for socially distanced walks in the park or something like that. And while I'm on that, folks, let me just say this. If you're not essential, please stay off of the road. And if a vehicle comes up behind you and you're poking along because you're bored and you don't have anything better to do, if this vehicle comes up behind you, obviously going faster than you, and it's lit up like a Christmas tree, I don't care if those lights are white, yellow, amber, red, or blue. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Because chances are they have something that's important, and that's why those lights are on, to let you know that they're coming. So what do these states do, and how are they enforcing this? Well, I got a list here I found. I've got everything alphabetically. Alaska declared the order on March 28th, and any business or organization found in violation is subject to a civil fine of up to $1,000 per violation. And this is according to Alaska's state code here. Additionally, an individual who goes against the order may, under certain circumstances, be charged with reckless endangerment if they are risking the lives of others. In Alaska, that is a Class A misdemeanor, and a person can be jailed for up to a year and fined up to $25,000. Arizona started theirs on March 31st, and residents are under a stay-at-home order. Violators could be charged with a Class 1 misdemeanor, just like Alaska, which has a fine of up to $2,500. And Doug Ducey, who's the governor of Arizona, apparently drew some criticism forever for exempting golf courses from the order. Yeah, you think, why do you need to be out there playing golf? However, I will say this. There's probably not many sports out there that have less contact than golf. It's maybe you and a buddy, you know, you stay 6 feet away and whack that ball all over the place. So I can sort of understand that. And California was the first state to go with a stay-at-home order, and Gavin Newsom put that in place back on March the 19th. And Newsom said that residents and businesses would be subject to misdemeanor penalties for violating the order, but he hoped that social pressure would push people to do the right thing. However, the state has since had some people who were in violation, and that included a surfer dude in Manhattan Beach who did receive a $1,000 fine. 99.99% of this can be done without any criminal penalty, and this is according to Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. But we're prepared. If anybody is an outlier because one person can be a super spreader, one person can kill someone, one person can kill themselves. It's really not helping. You know, their curve flattened a long time ago. And as I said last week, I agree with Rush Limbaugh that this most likely happened because it spread just like it did here faster than anybody realized. And now it's pretty much over and done with. Connecticut has been under stay-at-home order since March the 23rd. And information on regulation is not available. From what I understand, though, because I do have relatives in Connecticut, everyone's pretty much adhering to it. Just because the way they are in Connecticut, people just tend to like being told what to do in the tri-state area. Delaware, violation of the order is a criminal offense, and anyone found in violation can be fined up to $500 or 6 months in jail for each violation. In the District of Columbia, their order went into effect on March 30th, and it says that anyone in violation is subject to a fine of up to $5,000, a prison stay of no more than 30 days, or both. But again, I'm wondering how many states are actually enforcing this, because I know some, like here in North Carolina, are not. Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis finally instituted a safer at-home order that went into effect on April the 3rd. And State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg said that violators could be put in jail for up to 60 days. Georgia's Governor Brian Kemp was also criticized for his response to the COVID-19 outbreak and is now implementing a stay-at-home order. That was like one of the last states, I think, to do. There's a few left at this point, but not many. Theirs went into effect on April the 3rd, and the state has not yet announced the details on the order or penalties. However, several counties in the state previously said violators would be fined. So again, that's pretty vague. Georgia's a southern state. I really don't think they're going to do much for it either. Hawaii's stay-at-home order was put in place on March 25th, and their governor, David Ige, I don't know how you pronounce that, I-G-E, it's spelled like ice but with a G, said that violators could face a fine of up to $5,000 or up to a year in jail. Well, let me tell you, the island of Hawaii is shut down. Nobody's going in or out. It is essentially quarantined in and of itself. It's like Alcatraz out there. In Idaho, their order went into effect on March 25th, and officials said they hope not to have to penalize violators. State and local law enforcement will enforce, but they are taking an educational approach with the citizens. And this was according to Idaho's official website. Illinois was another early adopter of the stay-at-home order, and theirs began on March 21st. Initially, the state did not implement fines, but officials later said they would give any large groups a citation and a fine of up to $500. And I do know that even a couple of weeks ago, if you were walking towards the park You were told to turn around and go home, and if you refused to, you were cited on the spot. So they're apparently overreacting to this as well. In Indiana, any violators could be charged with a Class B misdemeanor, which includes a fine of up to $1,000 and up to 180 days in jail. In Kansas, under their order, it is up to local jurisdictions to enforce and charge anyone found in violation. Kentucky's order is called Healthy at Home, and it did not specify fine amounts for violators. Louisiana, their order went into effect on March the 23rd, also does not specify a fine, and their governor, John Bel Edwards, said on March 30th that residents need to do a better job of sticking to the order. My first message to everybody out there is to comply with the stay-at-home order, he said. We need people to honor the stay-at-home order. We need to have better compliance than we have. Doesn't say what they're going to do, though, if you don't. They're just doing this on the honor system, I guess. Maine's governor, Janet Mills, put her state under a stay-at-home order as of April 2nd, and violators would face up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. Maryland's went into effect on March 30th, and people are subject to a year in jail or up to $5,000 in fines for violating the order. We are no longer asking or suggesting Marylanders stay at home, said Governor Larry Hogan. So in other words, they're telling you, they're mandating you to stay at home. They're throwing you under house arrest for never having committed a crime. In Massachusetts, residents who violate the stay-at-home order are penalized using a tiered system. First-time violators are issued a warning. For the second time, they will be fined up to $300, and for any further violations, they face up to a $500 fine or jail time. Michigan's stay-at-home order initially was enforced with a civil penalty of up to $500 and up to 90 days in jail. However, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services upped the fine to up to $1,000 as of April the 2nd. In Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz said that anyone in violation of their stay-at-home order could face a fine of up to $1,000 or 90 days in jail, though he hoped it would not have to be enforced. We don't want them to be arrested. We want to educate people. This requires voluntary social compliance, he said. Well, we'll see how people actually react to this in the long run. We're a month into it now for the virus itself. A lot of places started issuing these orders probably about 2-3 weeks ago. So we're getting close to that monthly mark where people are going to start to get a little restless. So we'll see what happens. Going on down to the state of Mississippi, their shelter-in-place directive began on April the 3rd, and no fines or penalties were specified. Montana's order went into place on March 28th, and it doesn't carry a specific fine, and law enforcement would decide on a case-by-case basis. Out in Nevada, their governor, Steve Sisolak, put his order in place as of April 1st. I guess it was not an April Fool's joke. He did not specify any fines, but said that businesses that do not comply may be subject to criminal prosecution and civil penalties. So nothing specific on citizens staying at home, but little information there on businesses. That's the first one I've seen so far that actually has something specifying businesses that don't shut down. In New Hampshire, that state's order leaves enforcement up to police, and Attorney General Gordon McDonald said the goal is to educate, hopefully not to fine people. These orders have been issued to address a public health emergency and are intended to promote and secure the protection of the health and of the people of the state of New Hampshire. Therefore, the primary enforcement objectives should be to inform the public of the order, its importance to public health, and to seek voluntary compliance. I don't know, have you ever known anyone to just like voluntarily walk into jail? Well, I guess Otis from the Andy Griffith Show, but other than that, I really haven't. In New Jersey, the residents initially faced a fine of up to $1,000, but after the state had to break up several parties, including one of nearly 50 people, how awful, Governor Phil Murphy upped the fine to $10,000 and 18 months in prison, calling the violators knuckleheads. So that's a felony. That's serious business that they're taking up there, a felony. So they broke up a party, a private gathering. So if you have a party now in the state of New Jersey, you're looking at a year and a half in prison, losing your right to vote and own a firearm. So he goes on to say, let me be clear, we are taking a zero tolerance policy against anyone who acts so stupidly and puts others in danger or makes them fear for their health. He's the knucklehead. In New Mexico, that state order went into effect on March 24th, and it does not specify fines or penalties and leaves enforcement up to individual cities. New York was the second state to go under stay-at-home order, and Governor Andrew Cuomo said that the state does not plan to fine individual people who violate the order. Again, then why put it in place? Here in North Carolina, anyone found violating our stay-at-home order can be charged with a Class 2 misdemeanor, which carries a penalty of up to 60 days in jail and a $1,000 fine. But again, they're not enforcing it. The only case we've had was against a business that was a salon, and they were told to shut their doors, and they were informed that they were giving away food to the needy, and the cops came back later on that day and cited the worker, and the business owner was trying to explain to them that they were not operating as a salon. So we'll see where that one goes. I'm sure it's going to end up in court, and it'll get tossed. In Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine was another early enforcer of the stay-at-home orders. Those in violation can be charged with a second-degree misdemeanor, which comes with a $750 fine and up to 90 days in jail. However, DeWine said he did not expect anyone to be jailed. In Oregon, people found violating the stay-at-home order can be charged with a Class C misdemeanor, which carries a fine of up to $1,250, up to 30 days in jail, or both. In the state of Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf resisted a statewide stay-at-home order until April 1st, so that one's apparently expired. Any fines or penalties are left up to individual cities, so there's no mention here of whether it's been reinstated or not. Rhode Island's order went into effect on March 28th, carries an unspecified fine for residents found in violation. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee placed the state in a stay-at-home order effective March 31st. However, it did not specify any fines or penalties. Much like Florida, Lee also included churches as being essential. And that's something else I forgot to mention earlier. Apparently, there are some priests now who are offering drive-up confessionals. Gotta be the Catholics. Apparently now you can do a drive-up confessional service. I don't know how secret that would be, you know, because you got to stay at least 6 feet away from that speaker, right? So you got to bellow this thing across the parking lot. I don't know. People are coming up with some really clever and creative stuff here. In Vermont, their order went into effect on March 25th, and it doesn't specify any fines or penalties. It's like at least half of these, they don't tell you what the fines or penalties are if you violate the order. So what's the purpose, really? I guess this whole thing is just asking you to stay at home and do this on your own merit, see how honest people are. In Virginia, their order went into effect on March 30th and carries a fine of up to $2,500 and or up to a year in jail. In the state of Washington, their first case in death became the first epicenter of the COVID-19 outbreak. So Governor Jay Inslee put the state into a stay-at-home order on March the 23rd. However, specific fines or penalties were not stated. Instead, the order says that residents may be subject to criminal penalties. Again, there's such a vast array of what can happen to you, and chances are it's going to be nothing. In West Virginia, it was the last state to have a confirmed case, but Governor Jim Justice did implement a stay-at-home order relatively early, as of March 25th. The order leaves any fines or penalties up to law enforcement to handle. And Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers placed residents under a stay-at-home order that was effective as of March the 25th, and violators are subject up to 30 days in jail, a $250 fine, or both. So that's where all the states sit at the moment. Again, it's just so vastly different. But again, Hawaii, it has essentially shut down. That was not in there. I just heard that on the radio the other day, that they're not letting anyone in. They've essentially isolated themselves from the rest of the world. So I guess now it's officially become the country of Hawaii. But we'll see how long people go before they just get tired of this and they say enough's enough. You know, I need my job back. I need to be able to do things. And our citizens are being treated like criminals. We are essentially under house arrest. Even when you're under house arrest, you can call your probation or your parole officer and get permission to go to Walmart or to go to the store or do something. So this is essentially what we are. We're under house arrest. We're free to leave our home and walk around the yard. And now what if you live in an apartment? There's no place to congregate. I mean, you're essentially stuck inside. If you go out on the sidewalk, you're probably going to be around other people. This whole thing is just insane. And for what? For what? How many people are actually dying from this? This whole thing has been overblown. The majority of cases are people like me, and I know I keep saying this ad infinitum, ad nauseum. Most people don't even know they've had it. Yes, there are people who react to it, but people react to the flu the same way. People get sick. People die. Our numbers just aren't there to even match what the numbers are for the normal, everyday flu that we get every flu season. Can you imagine if they shut down sports events from January until May of every year because of the risk of catching the flu? No, they wouldn't do it. But people are panicking right now because this is the first time that anything like this has happened in modern times. And in this age of the internet, of television, of computers, of personal phones where people can literally communicate with anyone in the world in a split second, we're reacting to it differently. And we're hearing things from other places. Some of them are being exaggerated, some are not. Like in Italy and Spain, you know, a lot of people are dying. But how many of those are actually Italians? Yeah, I've postulated this before. How many were Northern Italians? How many were Southern Italians? But how many were actually Chinese? There is a huge portion of the Italian population that are resident Chinese. And I'm sure a lot of them were a lot of the early victims as well. And I don't remember if I mentioned this to you last week or not, but in New York City, one of the local TV channels just scared the crap out of the population of New York by doing a report on the coronavirus in New York City, and they showed a scene from an Italian hospital with all the huge numbers of people that were in the hospital. The level that the media will stoop to is lower than a whale turd, let me tell you.
It's Tommy Freedom.
Well, now I'd like to take a couple of minutes to talk to you about precious metals. Now, the article in question is about gold, but I've been telling you this regarding silver for almost as long as I've been doing this show, simply because most of us can't afford gold. But for years, there were people called gold bugs that invested in nothing but precious metals, and they were pretty much relegated to the fringes of the financial markets, quite often being viewed by mainstream investors as tinfoil hat conspiracists with basements full of beans and bottled water, and their warnings almost sounded apocalyptic. Coming collapse in financial assets, widespread devaluation of paper money, and global disasters that would erode civil liberties. Well, folks, what do we have now? Welcome to 2020. As the coronavirus brings economies around the world to a standstill, gold is rivaling treasuries and the dollar as the best-performing major asset this year. And in fact, it went up 6% as we lost almost $16 trillion, were wiped off the global stock markets, and as oil prices fell. And there's also been a dash for physical metals as investors in exchange-traded funds build the biggest stockpile in history, and dealers say they're struggling to even find gold to sell. "And we've been trying to warn people that something like this could happen," said Jim Rickards, the author of several books that predicted a coming financial reset. Rickards, who spoke from a New England mountain compound. Now, that should tell you something, folks. He's speaking from a compound in a mountain somewhere. Sounds like me, or maybe even you. He says, "I've been saying it for years. I'm not happy about being right." Well, folks, I've been saying it for years too, and I'm quite happy about being right, because I've put quite a bit into silver, and when it rebounds, it will then continue to go up. They're actually talking about gold going up just in the next year or so, over $2,000 an ounce. And we don't know whether it's going to plateau or peak at that. I think it's going to go much higher. In fact, I'm used to dealing with silver. So as I've told you many, many times, I think that silver will actually go up to close to $100 an ounce. And if it does, that'll give me more than enough money to build my bridge across the creek. So yes, I'm quite happy about this and the way that it's going, because I have been investing in silver for years as a way to make money, because I don't have enough to put into the stock market. I certainly don't have enough for gold, but I do understand that people always fall on precious metals when times are tough. So I hope that you've taken advantage of this, especially when silver dropped down to the high 11s just a couple of weeks ago. I actually overextended myself, even knowing that I was in risk of losing my job. I still went ahead and bought as much silver as I could afford to, on the premise that it will rebound, it will go back up, and that hopefully I won't lose my job. That's asking quite a bit in this economy, but I know I've at least got my job through the end of the month. I'm better off than most people right now, and hopefully our company will qualify for a grant, being that we're in the media and we report honest-to-goodness stuff. We don't report trash. But I'm quickly coming up on the end of the show here. Now, I started something last week I'm going to continue with as long as I'm reporting on the coronavirus and it is posing a danger, and that is playing end-of-the-world songs. Last week, it was World Gone Wild. This week is going to be the end of the world as we know it. Next week, I don't know, possibly the eve of destruction, or maybe even fighting for the earth. But that's just something I'm going to do to add a little brevity to the situation here and some entertainment. So for the next little bit, I will be finishing this off with a song other than my own outro, Desolation Canyon. So I will leave you this week, my friends, with that famous song by R.E.M. that sparked the entire genre of people saying Teotihuacan. This is It's the End of the World as We Know It.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Churn world serves its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Feed it up an ox. Speak grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High wire and a fire representing seven games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to us is coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck. Team, my team reporters baffle Trump. Tear the crop. Look at that. Low plane. Find them. Uh-oh. Overflow. Population comment.
It's the end of the world as we know it.